Welcome to worship on this first Sunday in September. Today is a communion day, as you can see. So if you need to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice, go ahead and do that now. As is our habit here, we also acknowledge the lands upon we are free to worship at St. Stephen's. So hear the land acknowledgement that is prepared in association with the Qualicum First Nation. We are honoured to gather, serve and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. We welcome back to St. Stephen's and back to the pulpit the Reverend Diane Collery today. She is refreshed and ready to worship with us. Would you join me in today's call to worship? Loving God, you call us to turn away from our own selfish interests, to take up our cross and to follow you, to find our lives. May we live them in service of your mission. As we come before you this morning, give us open hearts and open hands. Make us eager to hear your voice and seek your guidance. Open our minds to your ever-present Spirit that is always moving within and around us. Open our spirits to your nudging and open our lives to your love. Friends, if you make a habit of lighting a candle when you come to worship, let's do that together now. Let us pray. Come to us, Holy God, as we gather before you. Encircle us with your love. Bless us with your sustaining presence. Surround us with your grace. Draw us round your living word and bind us to one another as disciples of Christ, whose Spirit is in our midst. Amen.
Let's say together our prayer of confession for today. Gracious and loving God, you call us to be your voices in this world, and we stay silent. You call us to be your hands in this world, and we keep them hidden. You call us to be your feet in this world, and we go our own way. When we meet those who are doubting and say nothing, forgive us. When we meet those who need your touch and do nothing, forgive us. When we are called to take up your cross and carry nothing, forgive us. Breathe life into these bones, bring freedom to these lives, that we might declare with heart and soul and voice that you are our Lord and our God. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. There is nothing on earth or beyond death that can separate you from the love of God in Christ. You are forgiven. You are loved. You are reconciled to God. So go now. Go and live. Live in the love of God. Amen. As we do when we come to the table to celebrate communion, we'll say together now one of the creeds of the church. This month we are saying the Apostles' Creed, so please join me in that. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 through to 33, the English Standard Version. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whomever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? and if not, while the other is a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's nice to be home. As most of you know, I've been off for the month of August, but off didn't mean that we stayed here locally and staycationed. Simon and I were actually over in Europe for the month. Our first 3 weeks were spent between London and southern France, where our daughter actually got married. And for the final week of our month, Simon and I made our way to Scotland for a reprieve from some of the heat that we had had in southern France and from the busyness of the first real tourist season Europe has seen in 3 years. It was busy. We had a lovely holiday. Castley and Noah's wedding was absolutely beautiful and truly special. And as good as all of that was, we're still really glad to be home. It's nice to be back. But I have to say that I've come back this week to a bit of a doozy of a text. That quote that Foster shared last week fits really well again today. Some people are troubled by the things in the Bible they can't understand. The things that trouble me the most are the things that I can understand. This is tough stuff. It's a poignant reminder to us that the call to follow Jesus is not for the faint of heart. Now, I confess to you that I left on holidays knowing that this text would be waiting for me when I got home. It was all planned out. And while I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about it while I was away, from time to time, my mind did drift back to it as I kind of chewed on it and thought about where we might go together today. Well, the last time that happened for me, we were right here. We were staying in the midst of the stunningly beautiful Pentland Hills in the south of Scotland. And we were taking yet another walk. We did a few of them on those beautiful heather-covered slopes. As we walked that day, my mind again wandered back to this reading. But this time, I wasn't left scratching my head as much and wondering where we might go, because this time I thought about it, I realized I'd been given a gift of some context to hear Jesus' words through. A few days before that, we had taken a drive down to the Lake District in northern England to see the place that my great-grandmother came from when she came to Canada to settle in the Cowichan Valley in 1887. Now, we know that she came from a little hamlet called Roskill that lies in the Lake District, a place that her family, the Castley family, have lived since 1415. A Castley descendant actually still lives in the home that still stands on that land, the Thorn. And so Simon and I set out to see if we could find it, and we did. And I have to admit that it was very, very special for me to be able to stand in that place, just to be there. Now, before we took the drive, I had done some research online, hoping I would find some clues to lead us to where the house actually was. I didn't so much, but I did end up discovering that there have actually been a number of ministers in the Castley branch of our family. It turns out I'm a bit of a throwback to that branch. There were at least 4 Reverend Castleys listed in the things that I read, all of them young men who between the 18th and 19th centuries left their family's farm in that peaceful little place to move south to attend university at Cambridge. They left the only life that they'd ever known in that place, the only life their parents and their ancestors for hundreds of years had known. And they left it in order to follow God's call on their lives to serve Him in the church. standing there looking at the house that had been literally their home, and the land that they'd probably grown up thinking they would become men and would farm, I was quite struck by how difficult it must have been for them to leave, to follow that sense they had of Jesus' call to them. They left the only world they knew to go into an unknown future. And I'm not trying to say they were particularly special. They were just this timely example for me of how true Jesus' words to us are, that following him, being his disciple, it can cost us in many different kinds of ways. Well, that day when we were walking again in the Scottish Hills, and I was thinking about Jesus' words to us in this reading, I was struck by the cost that each one of those Reverend Castleys paid. They gave up their homes, their proximity to family, the security they could have known by being part of an established family farm in a community that was theirs. And perhaps most significantly, they gave up the relative certainty that life at home on the farm in Roscoe would have offered them. They left that life they'd known to follow Jesus into a largely unknown future. And I guess I'm struck by the thought that while much of life now, a couple of centuries later, is vastly different from what it was then, that cost, being willing to leave what you know, what is familiar to you, to follow God into the unknown, it's still something that we face even today. I actually think it's a cost that God's followers have always faced. Since the days of Abraham, when God first called him and said, "Go into the land I will show you." Remember, God didn't tell Abraham where he was going at the beginning. He just said, "Go." He told him to pack up, leave his home, leave all the certainty of the life he had known there, and go. God's people, Jesus' disciples, are more often than not called to be willing to give up what we know, to follow him into the unknown, whatever form that unknown may take. And that feels like a pretty timely word for us right now. Because as we've been talking about a lot, we're living in a time when we have been made keenly aware that the future is uncertain. It's unknown. You know, it was interesting for us to travel in a few different countries over this past month. While the whole world has gone through this pandemic crisis, we realized in the course of our travels that some countries, some people are further along in this journey than others. The world is very much going through a time of huge transition because of all of this. And some of us are further along in that transition than others are. And that is the nature of transition. That's always how it goes. But you know, wherever you are, wherever we are, individually, communally, or nationally, the truth is still the same. We are all going to have to make this transition eventually. We can't go back to the life we knew before the reality of COVID. So we have to get on with it. We have to courageously find new ways to carry on living in our world now. The future is a bit unknown, but that future is where we are all headed. So how do we, as people who are trying to faithfully follow Jesus, How do we answer his call to be people who bring his light and hope to our world in this time? What is the cost that we are each being asked to pay in order to do that? I can't answer that for you, but I do want to encourage every one of you to think about it. How are you being called to bear the light, the hope, and the love of Christ to others today? Institutionally, as the church, we are well aware that we have left behind the known of what life in the church used to be like. And we've quite literally been thrust towards a new reality that we are still very much in the process of discovering. We've been called from the known certainties of life in Christendom into an unknown future, in which much that we took for granted in the past can no longer be counted on. So what is the church's call in this time? How do we hear and follow God's call to serve a world that is still very much in need of the hope and the life and the love that we are called and gifted to embody and to share? And personally, for each of us, life continues to march on, doesn't it? As it always has, it brings times of transition, times when we are leaving behind a stage that we've come to know and love to move into a new stage, one that is always at first unknown to us. By its very nature, as we go through the years, life brings transitions, some of them welcome and some of them not so much. So how do we follow Jesus through those? Is there something that he is asking us to lay down or leave behind as we move ahead personally? I'm posing a lot of questions, aren't I? And they're challenging questions, I know that. And you can be forgiven if you're sitting wondering when I'm going to get to the good news in all of this. But there is good news, really there is. And to see it, it's helpful if we step out of our context for today and back into the context of this reading. So remember that Jesus said this to his disciples during that time that we've been spending all summer pretty much thinking about, that time when he was preparing his first disciples for his crucifixion, which was not long away at this point, and for the mission that they would take up after he was gone. He's preparing them for this huge transition they're going to go through. After his death and resurrection, they would end up leaving much of their lives behind. And most, if not all of them, would end up paying the ultimate cost in service of that mission. Most of those first disciples were killed for their faith in Christ. Their cost of discipleship was as big as it gets. And it's good to ask yourself why they would pay that price. Remember, on the night before he died, not one of those men was willing to risk their lives for him. They went and hid in fear. But somewhere between then and 6 weeks later, they all had had a complete change of heart. Well, all but one. And they each willingly and even joyfully answered his call to go and make disciples of all nations. Why were they suddenly so willing to give themselves for God's mission? One thing. One experience inspired their newfound courage and commitment: his resurrection. Seeing Jesus alive again that experience changed everything for them. When he rose from death, they didn't just witness a miracle. Jesus gave them a glimpse of what the future will hold. While much would remain uncertain, one thing got really clear, that the future Jesus was calling them towards, the future he secured for all of us, is a future where death, in all of its forms, will be no more. So when those first disciples saw him resurrected and alive again, they went from being afraid of what tomorrow might bring to rushing towards it. Not because all of the uncertainty was gone, but because the promise it held, that goal of life free from death, became worth whatever cost they would need to pay. So yes, this is a hard word in this reading. There is a cost to following and staying true to Christ. But the good news is that that cost, whatever it is, will always be worth it. Because the same one who calls us to follow, he's already paid the greatest cost that can be. And he's paid it for all of us so that we don't have to. Jesus calls his followers to be willing to give our all, to follow him beyond death and beyond all of our fears about death, into a world that is free from all of that, a world that only knows life. And life unending. Amen.
Hello. Please join me in the prayers of the people today. This is a responsive prayer you'll see on your screen. Joining me saying, hear their prayers, dear Lord, and make us instruments of your peace. The compassion of the Spirit of God within our hearts compels us to reach out in prayer to other people. Let us pray. From around the world, we hear many children crying, O God, crying for food and drink and someone to enfold them in loving arms. Hear their prayers, dear Lord, and make us instruments of your peace. We see the desolate eyes of refugees, O God, plodding along war-devastated roads, or looking from transit camps and from behind barbed wire for glimmers of hope. Hear their prayers, dear Lord, and make us the instruments of your peace. We read about the abused sisters and brothers, O God, cringing from family violence, or suffering in jails, or assaulted in their own homes by strangers. Hear their prayers, dear Lord, and make us the instruments of your peace. We hear the sobbing of the brokenhearted, O God, betrayed by spouse or lover, deserted by parents, watching at the bed of the dying, or following a hearse to the cemetery. Hear their prayers, dear Lord, and make us the instruments of your peace. We know about the disasters that afflict others, O God, the flooding in Pakistan, migrant camps throughout Europe and the world, those devastated by disease or war, especially in the Ukraine, and the minds that have cracked under pressure. Hear their prayers, dear Lord, and make us the instruments of your peace. We read about your church, O God, in some places overcrowding its buildings, in others battling to maintain services, or in some countries meeting secretly behind locked doors. Hear their prayers, dear Lord, and make us the instruments of your peace. We look on the faces of both friends and enemies, O God. Some of our friends are experiencing hardship, while enemies seem to be getting it easy. Yet all are our souls for whom Christ died. Hear their prayers, dear Lord, and make us the instruments of your peace. Holy friend, while we have been praying, You have been busy answering our petitions with incredible wisdom and amazing steadfast love. Thank you. Through Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.
Friends, welcome to Jesus' table. We're delighted to join you here. May God be with us. God is here among us. Let us open our hearts to God. We open them to God and to one another. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. We thank you, God, creator of us all. From the beginning, you made the world and all its creatures. You made people to live for you and for one another. We praise you, O God. We praise you, O God. You created Adam and Eve and gave them a garden. You showed Noah a rainbow. You gave Moses strength to free your people and taught Miriam to sing. You gave courage to Esther and loyalty to Ruth. You gave David a harp to sing your praise and helped him defeat the giant. We praise you, O God. We praise you, O God. Yet even they turned away from you and forgot about you as we do too. But you did not forget. You sent Jesus to the world to show how much you love us and to bring us back to you again. We praise you, O God. We praise you, O God. He came as one of us, first an infant, then a child, later a youth, and then an adult. He rejoiced with those who rejoiced and wept with those who wept. To the despairing, he spoke a word of hope. To the sick, he gave healing. To the hurting, he was a friend. Still, people turned away from you. They betrayed Jesus and nailed him to a cross. But he was lifted from the grave and restored to life, that he might be with us and we with him, alive forevermore. Therefore, with all the saints of every time and place, we join the angels in their praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We gather at this table to remember that on the night before he died, Jesus ate with his friends. He took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." That same night, Jesus also took a cup, and after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink. This cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me." We remember Jesus' death, and we celebrate his resurrection. We await with hope his coming again to bring peace and justice to the earth. And we proclaim the mystery of our faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Send, O God, your Holy Spirit upon us and what we do here, that we in these gifts, touched by your Spirit, may be signs of life and love to one another and to the world, through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All glory is yours, God most holy, now and forever. Amen. Friends, let's say together now the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for us. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for us. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to consume the elements in the places where you are.
Blood of a new covenant. This is forgiveness, simple and true. This is the way that I have made for you. Before you eat, before you drink, take a long look inside and tell me what you.
Please join me in saying together our prayer after communion. Holy God, thank you for this meal shared in the Spirit with your Son, Jesus Christ. As we are now fed with the bread of life and cup of salvation, empower us through the Holy Spirit to do your will. Strengthen us to work for bringing healing and wholeness into a hurting and broken world. May we be your living presence for others to see. We ask for these and other blessings in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Your tithes and offerings are very gratefully received here at St. Stephen's. Would you pray with me now this prayer, offering them back to building God's kingdom? Gracious God, you heap your love upon us, like a parent providing for a family's needs. Help us to live with enough trust to find our security in your love and to share it freely with others, in these gifts and in all the ways you call us to. Bless what we have given and guide those who steward it to use it for your purposes in our congregation, in our community, and in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the grace, peace, and love of our triune God protect, defend, and empower you so that you can answer God's call and run with perseverance the race set before you. Amen.
Of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world, and we are your laborers in your vineyard, declaring trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. There is no God like Jehovah, 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 there is no God.